At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ooh. What's up, good people? It's time for another session of that verbal cardio, man. We back. Oh, shit. My bad. We back. Back in business. We survived, y'all. We survived another week, man. If you here listening to this, if you looking at me right now, if you listening to me right now, we survived another week, man. We made it through. Week by week. That's all we got, man. Week by week, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, man. That's all we got. That's all we got, y'all, man. Hang in there. We done made it through the election. Whatever side you was on, we made it through. You still gonna have to drink your water. No matter who's in office, you still gonna have to drink your water, shorty. You still gonna have to survive. You still gonna have to pay your bills. You still gonna have to make it through day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. We out here, man. I want to give a shout out to the patron saints in the building. Miss Ma'am, Markiki, Miss Kia, Charles McPherson, Crunchy Apple, Gravy Train, Anthony Bell, Simone L, Mishi, Tony Ant, Passionate for God, Miss Ma'am, Engagement Engineer, Candy Cammy, Cat James, Two Jelsey, what was that, Shalita Willis, Charlotte McPherson, Blue Magic, Miss Josie, AJ, Tough Help, Tanya R, Damon Stevens, Dallas D, King Panda, Leia, Aomi. What's up, y'all, man? I appreciate y'all for being in the building. We back up in this, man. Another verbal cardio. I hope. Whose birthday is it? I see y'all saying happy birthday in the chat. Whose birthday is it? Oh, is that Miss Kia? Happy birthday. It's your birthday on, what's today? November 12th, that's your day? That's your day right there? Tanisha Turner, what's happening, Trey Porter? Happy birthday to all the Scorpios. If you've had a birthday recently, I want to give you a birthday shout out, man. Shout out to the Scorpios. They say Scorpios and Tauruses go together. You know what I mean? Like, they got like a very dynamic relationship within the zodiac that I see most, more so than not. You know, Tauruses get paired up with Scorpios a lot. It's like a strong attraction or whatever, even though they're completely different. But, you know, I always see that those two combined. And so shout out to the Scorpios. I've dated a Scorpio or two, and yeah, it was quite the experience. Simone, you finally caught a live verbal cardio, man. We kind of light today. I noticed we a little lighter than we normally are, but you know, it's neither here nor there. But we back. Listen, the elephant in the room is this: the election. The election happened, all the buildup, and then the bust off. The political bust off, as I like to call it. Because the election process is all a big jerk off until the bust off. And then depending on what side you're on, you're either disappointed or you're happy. For me, I was disappointed. Surprised? No. Disappointed? Yes. Time and time again, I get disappointed. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. I saw a video earlier about they were asking black men in the barbershop in Atlanta why they voted for Trump. And they was just like, Harris didn't stand on nothing. She wasn't standing on nothing. You know, Trump stands on something. He be standing on something. like the family values there. I wanted to speak on the family value aspect of the campaign. All right. When we talk about family values, we're talking about man and woman, household, the kids, the whole shebang, the nuclear family, right? That's what they want to stand on as Republicans. That's the family values that a lot of people feel like we're losing the family values. We're losing it. And then they want to make, you know, the gay community the target for that, or the scapegoat for family values going by the wayside, when that's not even the case. You know, let me tell you something right here, right now. Men and women are always going to connect. That's never going to stop. Men and women will always connect. They're always going to get married. They're always going to be couples. They're always going to be dating. They're always going to be procreating. That's just fact. It's just, it is what it is. That's always going to be what it is. It's never going to stop. It's never going to die off. It's never going to, none of that. It's going to be here. Stop being so scared that we're losing men and women together. No, we're not. We're good. Let me backtrack it a little bit. Let me take it back a little bit. Divorce has been here. Divorce ain't nothing new, right? People have been getting divorced for a long period of time. It didn't just appear in the 90s and the 2000s. Divorce has been happening. And, you know, a lot of couples don't make it through. A lot of couples don't make it through. They don't make the cut. When I think about my own circle of friends, Keenan and Janelle married, Kian and Katia married, Kevin and Melissa married, Greg and Mel are married, Tab and Chance are married, you know, Doc Brown and his wife are married with a new bun in the oven, Shane Miller is married, Howard Alonzo is married. So many married people in my circle. Marriage is out here. Me, she's married, you know, Shan is married. So it's still out here. It's still cracking. It's still popping. It's still happening. This whole fear mongering of we're losing the family. We're not. And let's be clear about this, too. Just because a politician has family values, I'm not even going to get on, you know, Donald Trump. What, he on his third marriage? That's neither here nor there. He on his third marriage. That's neither here nor there. At least he married, though, right? What was I about to say? I lost my train of thought. Oh. So, under the guise of a family or a marriage or, you know, the family values, just because you are married with children does not mean you are living completely right. That does not make you an upstanding individual or any of that. You could be just as shady, dirty, and filthy married with children. A lot of people think, they got a beautiful family, and that's the end all be all. It is not. You don't know what's going on underneath the roof of that house. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on. You don't know if the husband's cheating. You don't know if the wife is cheating. You don't know if there's abuse in the home. You don't know if there's sexual assault in the home. Let me tell you something right here, right now. When them Klansmen were stringing us up in the South, were trying to pressure us not to vote, all the kind of horse shit that was going on, they were married with families. They had a whole wife and a whole family down there running up, burning crosses, chasing people off, threatening, killing, raping, pillaging, with a whole family. So let's not act like the family is the end all be all. Yes, it is important. Yes, there is value in it, but that doesn't automatically make you upstanding, respectful, any of that, good-willed, none of that. So we got to dig deeper than just saying, oh, you know, they married with kids. Okay, what else? What else is going on? And then people on my social media, you know, because I had some stuff to say after the election. They like, man, just stick to comedy, man. Just take your L. Just do this. What, you still talking about this? Let people get their shit off for a day or two after the election. Hell, give everybody a week. They've been running their little campaign for months. Let people get their shit off for a few days without you coming in here. You still talking about this? Yes. Yes, I'm still talking about it. Let the aftermath settle. When a nuclear bomb go off, you still got to deal with the fires, the radiation, the fallout. The bomb just don't go off, and that's it. Nah, man, it's rubble. It's people underneath the rubble. It's dust, dirt, fires, burns. Let people have the fallout. Let people process. Let it go down. Hush. People are always saying, stick to comedy, stick to animal voiceover. Y'all don't tell me to stick to nothing. If I talk about my son that passed away, y'all never say stick to comedy. Y'all don't say it then. When I'm talking about food, y'all don't say stick to comedy, man. You talking about food. Stick to comedy, man. Stick to the animal voiceovers, man. You in here talking about movies, man. Stick to comedy. What you talking about movies and music for? They only say that when they disagree. And that's why my page is Tony Baker. It's not Tony Baker Comedy no more. I took the comedy off for a reason. Shout out to Cedric for helping me get just my name, Tony Baker. That's me. I'm not stuck in comedy no more. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something about me. First and foremost, before I told any joke, before any joke was laid out from me, I was a little black boy. Little black boy coming out my mom's. That was me out the gate. Little black boy in America. 10 pounds. Yes, I was big. I was robust. My shoulders got stuck. Shout out to Sandy Baker for pressing through. Black boy off the top. That automatically comes with history in this country. Out the gate, a human being. Before you knew my path, before you knew anything, that humanity is what's first. I'm living, I'm breathing, I'm experiencing stuff. I'm laughing, I'm crying, all that good stuff. Y'all got to stop censoring people just because you disagree. All right? I can see if I was on the platform about sports and then I bring politics into it. That's not the platform for it, you know? I can see if I was on somebody else's platform talking about politics and racism. That's not the platform for it. But what my platform is my name. That's it. Yes, I do stand-up comedy for a living. Yes, that's my trade. That's what I do. That's my day and night job. Yes. But my page is me. Whatever that may be. If I'm talking about food, if I'm talking about music, if I'm talking about movies, if I'm talking about racism in America, if I'm talking about Donald Trump, whatever the case may be, religion, the gay community, dating, prices, gas, praying mantises, tigers, cat butt, whatever. Stop trying to silence people just because you disagree. All right? Let me get my shit off. And I got my shit off. That's all I need to do. I need to get the stuff off my nipples real quick. And then I moved on. I moved on to other stuff. Moved on to other stuff, man. Sick of y'all. And your hypocritical ways. You're hypocritical. You're hypocritical. Talk about get over it, man. Donald Trump didn't get over it when he lost. He took his L like a full weakling. He didn't even take his L. What are we talking about? He fired everybody up to storm the Capitol, man. Shut up. Shut up. Nobody want to hear y'all right now. I should own up. And then I'll be like, all right, you know, I moved on and I'm talking about something else. And then they come on a post about something else. About, you know, the monkeys escaping in South Carolina. Here they come with, that's like Trump, you wasn't saying. Oh, do y'all want me to shut up or do you want to keep the conversation going? Because I've moved on. I'm talking about other stuff now. And then you're going to bring the politics back? Stay on that post when I'm talking about that. When I'm talking about women's bodies. Stay over there with that. But nah, man, y'all ain't trying to hear it. Y'all ain't trying to hear it. Sick of everybody, though, man. Tired of it. Sick of it all. You know what I mean? Sick of it all. But I'll tell you what I'm not sick of. Our sponsor for this episode, man. Prize Picks. Prize Picks. Let me tell you what I am tired of. I'm tired of the Chicago Bears losing. Tired of that. Tired of the Chicago Bears losing, man. When my team loses, it messes up my whole mood. But I love sports. Sports was a great time. The Bulls lost last night, but that's neither here nor there. Prize Picks is a place to get real money sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Run your game all season long with Prize Picks. You hear me? Because that's good money, man. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action, man. Real money. All right. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy that, so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks keeps your lineup live. Prize Picks is the best place to get that real money sports action. Prize Picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. And Prize Picks now offers Venmo for quick and easy deposits and withdrawals into your account this sports season. So if you sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5, you don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday. It's Tuesday right now. All right. Each Tuesday, Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups, man. Let's say think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards next week, or Lamar Jackson pass more than 1.5 touchdowns. Cook up hot takes with your friends and win real money this football season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long, shawty. So you can go in there and be like Jamar Chase for more than 79.5 receiving yards. Imagine if you put money on Jamar Chase this past weekend, man, you would have came up on some real cash. Or you could be like Patrick Mahomes for more than 1.5 passing touchdowns, or Travis Kelce for more than 59.5 receiving yards, or Saquon Barkley for more than 79.5 rush yards. It's that easy. It's that easy. So download the app today and use the code VERBAL to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today and use the code VERBAL to get $50 instantly. That's $50 instantly, y'all. That's not your money. They giving you $50 off the top, shorty. Off the top, man. Where else can you go and get $50 off the top? I don't know. I don't know where you can go and get that. So download the app today. Use the code VERBAL to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Prize Picks is a good time, man. You got to run that game, Sheldon. You got to run that game. So I woke up this morning, man. I'm so sick of this conversation. This whole dating landscape. I woke up this morning, look at my phone, look at my Instagram. One of the first things I see is a girl fussing about a guy not flying her out there for a date or whatever. You know what I'm saying? A guy didn't want to fly her out. He expected her to pay for the flight or whatever. I'm so sick of these conversations, y'all. This is like over and over, back and forth. The 50-50 conversation, who should pay what on the date, all this horse shit that we just keep regurgitating, we keep talking about it. Listen, y'all, listen. Why? How long are we going to do this? How long are we going to do this, y'all? Put the simple parameters in play. If you want to spend time with someone in a romantic fashion, don't even have to be a romantic fashion. If you want the company of someone in this big age, in this day and age, I want to see you. I want to take you out. Let me take you out. You pay. Why is it so hard? If it's not business, if it's not business, it's casual, it's social. If you invite somebody out, you pay. Why is that so hard? I'll be like, yo, man. Hey, yo, Dominique, man. Let me take you to Portillo's. I'm paying for that shit. Don't even bring your purse inside. Unless you got lip gloss in there, you don't want your lips to be ashy because you're eating. And if, you know, sometimes when you're eating and, you know, your lips can get ashy when you're eating, and then you got to keep the lips moisturized because sometimes the lips get ashy when we eat. You know, you get so hungry, you're salivating, and then it dry, and then your lips just pay the price, and then you're chewing, and then you don't want to lick your lips with the sauces and the juices. So it's just like, yo, let me re-gloss, let me re-chap. You know, because my lips get ashy when I'm hungry. When I'm eating, my lips get ashy. If you ever eat with me, notice this. You will see me put some chapstick on right before I eat. Because I know myself. I know my lips is going to get ashy once I start eating. So I take the preemptive strike. All right. But that's neither here nor there. You know, ashy lips aside, if I invite Dominique to go eat Portillo's, I'm paying. I'm like, yo, let's get some Portillo's. It just goes without saying. Now, you know, we do the song and dance where we were like, no, man, you ain't gonna get me. We do the song and dance. We could do that. I'll box you out. You know? And I get it. Like if we hang out, date, hang, even me and the fellas when we're on the road and like we go eat as comedians. We fight at the register sometimes. Who paying for what? But that's cool. That's not an issue. We talking from the dating landscape or whatever. Whoever does the inviting should do the paying. If you can't afford to cover somebody, don't come outside. If you can't cover somebody's meal, don't come outside. Don't invite nobody nowhere. Let's just talk on the phone. Because I'll be damned if I'm dead broke. I ain't inviting you nowhere. If I'm broke, all I got, you can come to the crib. That's all I got. We can go for a walk. That's all I got. That's all I got. Yeah, we can meet up at the gym. And I'm not saying if your money is funny, you can't hang out. You can't do anything social. But when it comes to invites and your money's funny, you got to let the money flow work for you, or lack thereof. You got to do free shit. And that's fine, too. Let's go for a walk. Let's go. Because walks are great. I'm a fan of the walk. The walk is just fantastic. And then you can get on your half-baked Dave Chappelle shit. You know what I'm saying? Let's just walk. Let's walk all throughout Manhattan. But what I'm saying is it should be simple, though. Yo, I want to spend time with you. Let's link up over dinner, and then boom, I'm paying. Why is it so difficult? Now, when it comes to the 50-50 conversation. Also, let me backtrack. Don't be inviting somebody somewhere and you ain't willing to pay nothing. Yeah, that's just weird. Especially if you're going somewhere that's mad pricey. Like, what we doing? Now, Tanisha Turner said on Club Shay Shay, they say $300 max. I think $300 is more than enough for a date, for a dinner. I think that's more than enough. $300? But you're also talking to somebody that I don't do a lot of fancy shit. I don't do expensive meals like that. That's not me being cheap. That's just me. I'm just not looking for that. I'm just not like, yeah, let me get the fancy restaurants. We out here at the fancy restaurants. I just don't be at fancy restaurants. Like I said, I was going to do that this year. I said I was going to go to a fancy restaurant just to see if the prices was worth it. But I never made the cut. But $300 is more than enough for a nice night out. $300? That's a good ass time. That's more. I'm telling you, that's more than enough. You should come back with mad change. If you're not coming back with mad change, man, what the hell? What was y'all eating? What was on the goddamn menu? What we doing? We parachuting too? We ate, then we did parachuting, and then we hang glided, and then we went to the Bahamas. $300. But I wanted to say this too, the 50-50 conversation. Tired of this shit. The 50-50. Listen, man. If y'all are in a dating landscape, and I know y'all out here heavy and some of y'all looking for love tough. You just looking for love desperately. I'm looking for love. I'm looking for a relationship. I'm single. I'm tired of being single. You can see it. You can smell it all over social media. You can tell who really out here looking and choosing. You can tell who laid back in the cut. You can tell who like to keep their stuff low key. And you can tell who's desperately out here looking for love. And some people really do not like being alone. That's a very real thing, and it's very prevalent. I see so many people just out here. It's a person after a person after a person. I'm just like, God damn, you really out here just, you just can't be alone for 1 second. Now, mind you, I'm on the other side of the fence, ridiculously, to where I'm scared that I'm too comfortable in the single life. Like, I'm like, damn, I might just stay here. It scares me sometimes. I know I'm going to end up in a relationship, but it just scares me sometimes how comfortable I am alone. Because I'm in my lazy phase, and we're gonna circle back to that. The 50-50 thing, right? People need to be straight up from the jump. You need to be transparent. You need to be straight up from the jump. If you in these dating streets, be transparent from the jump. Don't be trying to look cool. Don't be trying to look glossy. Don't be trying to look extra clean. Be transparent out the gate of what you like and what you don't like, what you do and what you don't do, what you're looking for and what you're not looking for. If you out here looking for somebody to take care of you, if you want to just move in with somebody and not pay a single mortgage or rent bill, if that's what you're looking for, say that out the gate. Because there's some people out here be like, I'll take care of you. I'll pay your bills. There's some, I don't know why I got them sounding like that, but they out here. I'll pay every bill. Just let me take care of you. They out here. If that's what you're looking for, say that. If somebody's out here looking for a partner where it's just like, yo, man, I ain't going to be paying all the bills. You got to be bringing some finances to the table. Say that out the gate. And ain't nothing wrong with either one. If you want to be taken care of, ain't nothing wrong with that, because there's somebody out there that's going to take care of you. It could be a sugar daddy. It could be a creepy looking white man. You never know. But there's somebody be like, I'll pay for everything. They out there. And then there are certain people that's like, yo, I'm looking for a partner in this. I'm not looking to just be taking care of you out here. I'm looking for somebody that got her own thing going. I got my own thing going. Let's come together 50-50. And there's nothing wrong with that either. And I know y'all want to get on what the Bible say. Everybody ain't moving by what the Bible say, too. You got to keep that in perspective. Everybody ain't moving on what the Bible say. Everybody ain't Christian. Y'all got to come to that realization. Everybody ain't Christian. Everybody ain't following the Bible to the letter. That's another conversation you got to be transparent about. Off the top, what we looking for? All right? And if you say you're just going to be taken care of, you don't want to worry about the mortgage or the rent or the utilities, well, what you doing? Well, I'm going to hold the house down, which is real work, which is there's value on holding the house down. There's value on keeping the house clean, cooking the meals, taking care of the kids if you got them. Super value in that. But you're going to have to be on your goddamn job. Now, if the breadwinner is coming home and cleaning up more than you, you're not on your goddamn job. If the breadwinner is coming home and cooking more than you, you're not on your goddamn job. Because if that's all you're going to do, if that's going to be your sole focus, the breadwinner should come on and be like, damn, man, I don't even get a chance to clean up because you already done it. I mean, that's all I'm doing. It's supposed to be like that, to where it's like, damn, you cleaned up, man. You vacuuming again, man. It's got to be like that if that's all you're doing. You ain't got no 9-to-5. You ain't got no job. What else is you doing? And if you out here, no job, no nothing going on, I don't see why the house ain't clean. I don't see why you're not cooking. And if you can't cook, that's fine. We be like, yo, you can't cook. I'll do the majority of the cooking, or we'll just order food out or whatever. And that's fine too. Just be upfront about that. I can't cook. I don't like cooking, but I can clean the shit out of this house, and I can handle, you know, the day to day, you know, stuff going in and out. You know what I'm saying? And if you got kids, that's a whole nother diamond right there. It was like, yo, man, I'm holding the kids down. I'm running them to appointments. I'm taking them to practice. I'm taking them to everything. Boom. Kids are taken care of. Business is handled. But a lot of people are raggedy with the cleaning, the cooking, and holding the kids down, and they just want to lay up under somebody and not put in on a single bill. Then you become a liability. Like, what is you doing? What you really bringing to the table? So you got some of that going on. So you got to be careful of that. Where it's just like, you just want to live for free. All right. But people aren't willing to have these conversations early on. Everybody want to look good. Everybody want to look appealing. So they leaving stuff out, and they leaving what their true wants are. Or you say what you want. You tell somebody, you super transparent. You tell somebody what you want and what you're looking for. And then they tell you, well, I'm not really looking for that. And then y'all press forward. When y'all have clearly stated two different viewpoints, two different wants, two different needs, y'all like, all right, you know, we'll see what happens down the line. Down the line, it's going to get musty. It's going to get raggedy. Because y'all already look past it like, yo, I don't want to be taking care of nobody. I want to be taken care of. Well, yeah. Well, let's keep moving forward. What? Hold on, that has to be addressed. What are you willing to compromise on to make this relationship smooth? Because y'all looking for two separate things, but y'all still gonna press forward. What you think gonna happen? What you think gonna happen? Like for me right now, everybody on my neck about dating. Everybody like, who Tony dating? Let's fix Tony up with such and such. Tony, who you got your eye on? Tony, you should listen. I'm in my lazy phase in terms of when it comes to dating. I'm in my lazy phase. I don't know where to go. I ain't got no plans. I like being in the house. I like being in the house. My movie theater is close to me. I run my little errands. I go to the movies, I go to the gym, I walk 5 miles, I play Call of Duty with my family and friends, and I'm perfectly content and happy with that. I don't feel the guilt of having to entertain somebody. I'm just out here just enjoying my little self. And I'm transparent about that. I say that off the rip, man. I just be in the house. I barely come out. I'm horrible at selecting places to go. I might go out and eat and build one time, and then I tuck back in for 2-3 weeks. I don't have dating factored into my schedule. It took every fiber of my being to just travel this year that wasn't work-related. I had to force myself to travel. I had to force myself to go to Seattle. I had to force myself to go to New Mexico for great reasons. I had a great time. It was fantastic. I'm like, man, family. It was family on Seattle, family on New Mexico. It was fantastic. But I had to be like, I'm going somewhere. I'm going. It wasn't like a deep yearning. Well, I did miss the family, but you know what I'm saying? And then I went to Atlanta recently. But then I handle business in Atlanta, so it doesn't really count. But I went to Atlanta for a few days, you know what I'm saying? I was out there. Then I went to Mexico City for work. I went to Cabo for the wedding renewal. That's all I did this year. And I tucked right back into the house. And that's where I'm at, though, but I don't hide that, you know? When I talk to women, I'll be like, listen, I'll be in this house. What you be doing? Like, when we gonna connect? All right, we can do something. Yeah. And then I don't even come back with a date or nothing. I'm trash right now. I like the house. And then I don't want to be creepy and be like, come to the house. Cause then you're gonna be like, we got to go out. We got to do other stuff. I don't want to just come over. All right. But that's the vibe I'm on. But I'm honest about that. I'm transparent about that. Maybe I'll be back outside next year. Maybe not. I'm going to be working again. I'll be working again. So it's just like, oh, man, he's going to be working again. And I could be considered boring. Like, he just want to be in the house all the time. The house is fun, man. You know how hard I work to have a house I love to be in? I've been building up to this for centuries. And now that I actually bought a house that I'm just remodeling for my taste now, oh, good luck seeing me outside. Good luck. Y'all might not ever see me again. Now, you just gonna have to come over. And if coming over ain't your thing, then, I see you around. Because I let it be known where I'm at, man. All you got to do is let people know where you're at, what you on, and then y'all can either be like, you can either compromise or be like, you know what? I don't think we matching right now. And that's okay if y'all not matching at the current time. It's okay. Because then it's going to get more difficult later on down the line when you're trying to force shit. Or you already balls deep. Now it's just weird. So, you know, stop making everything extra complicated and extra hard, man. Jesus. Sick of it. We shouldn't be having these back and forths all the time, man. Listen, when I do step outside and I want to do something, I want to go somewhere, guess what? I'm going to be like, yo, let's go to such and such. And I got you. Or, you know, you catch me outside, maybe after the show, you want to go get some. Well, catching me after the show is tough because I'll be tired. And then I'll be feeling guilty if I don't get my workout in. So then I'd be like, I don't really want to eat because I ain't work out. And then I'm just, you know what I'm saying? Just watch out, man. Ladies, you're going to get your feelings hurt with me. You're going to get your feelings hurt with me. That's all I'm saying. You're going to get your feelings hurt. I'm being transparent. I'm letting you know. Don't come over here. Don't come over here. You're going to get your feelings hurt. Because you're going to want something, and then I'm like, nah, I ain't really feeling it. And if I'm not really feeling it, I don't really move. I'm an immovable object. If I ain't really feeling it, I don't want to do it. Because I don't want to be forced to do something I don't want to do. You know? So, it's what it is, man. Just be real, y'all. Just be real out here. Just be real. I'm saying, like, you know, you're going to find love, man. Stop looking so hard. Stop looking so hard. Some people are so desperate to be in a relationship, they'll get with anybody just to be in a relationship. I got somebody. Man, is it legit? Y'all going to match up for real, for real? Y'all going to match up? Stop doing that, man. Just stop getting with people just to have somebody, man. I be loving self. I'm not lonely. I be having a good time with my little self, man. The freedom. Oh, the freedom. I'm just out here, man. Having a good time, eating my little snacks, being on my little routine. You know what I'm saying? Occasionally when I do enjoy the company of somebody, it's a good time. It's a good moment in time. Man, we had a good time. Game nights be fun. I could just dip off and leave. I ain't got to check in. And then when I do get back in a relationship, that's going to be a good time too. Because I'm not coming in with desperation. I'm not going to get in a relationship just to get in it. I'm going to be thinking, pondering, processing. I'm going to be like, yo, man, y'all really like what we got going on right here. I like what's happening here. Yeah. And I'm going to be sitting there like plotting. I like what's happening. We vibe. And then when you get two people together that are truly comfortable in their own skin and they love themselves, oh, that's a great time. Because they coming in whole, two wholes coming together. I'm not depending on you to fill no voids in me and vice versa. What's not to like, man? We having a good time and we fully realized. We know that we have value outside of another person. Oh, we having a good time. We having a good time. That's what I want y'all to be on, man. Regardless if you're in a relationship or not. I want you to really take a step back, look and feel yourself, and just be like, how do I feel about myself in this moment in life, in this moment in time? How do I view myself? Do I love myself? Can I make myself happy from within? On a solo tip, just you know. No disrespect to your significant others at all in this. I'm just saying we all need that self-reflection, that self-love, and that self-worth. Even if we got a good partner or a subpar partner, or you just phoning it in your current relationship. Look at yourself in the mirror and just be like, yo, I like what's going on with me. I'm liking how I'm moving. Or not. Or you may find like, yo, I need to get together. I need to cut this shit out. I need to address this. I need to do this, this, that, and the third. And granted, I know it's easier said than done. I know it's easier said than done because, you know, I'm out here. It's just me. So, you know, I don't have the burden of, you know, trying to convey to someone else, yo, I feel this. And then a lot of people don't have the energy or the capacity for those type of heavy conversations at the time. Whatever the case may be, we all got stuff going on. But I really feel like, you know, we need those moments to where we really checking in on ourselves. Because it's so valuable to know yourself, love yourself, hold yourself accountable so we can better navigate life with others. Got to know who you are. You got to know what you want. You got to know how you feel on certain things. You got to stand for something. You got to stand on business. You got to get your boundaries in order. And then that's when I really feel like you'll make real breakthroughs in like getting through life on your terms. So yeah. I just want y'all to be mindful of that because I'm tired of this dating conversation, relationship bullshit that is just a constant flow of it on social media. I'm just like, all right. Because if you find a man that's going to do this, 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 and this, and then, oh, constantly. I'm like, all right. What else is there? What else is going on, shorty? Jesus. All right. Come on, man. Switching gears to music, entertainment. Y'all know I'm a music and entertainment. First of all, there was a clip on social media, the movie Juice, right? Y'all know in the movie Juice, Q wanted to be a DJ. Q had the clearest aspirations in that movie. Well, Tupac was pretty clear. He just wanted the juice. But Q, he had aspirations, man. He wanted to be a DJ. That was his passion. That was a major linchpin in the storyline. But I was just looking at how his friends was moving. Bishop was not encouraging whatsoever at all. Hating, clowning them, all of that. Bishop was a trash friend. And then Steel was like, yo, man, look at the DJs that's going to be here. You got DJ Scratch and Sniff, DJ Cut and Sniff, and DJ Robitussin, man. They won both of them joints last year. You ain't got no shot. And it's like, bruh. And you know, Raheem was laughing. Raheem was the only one that was like, yo, man, I got you. But he did it low key on the one-on-one. He was like, hey, man, I got you, dog. At the end of the day, I'm going to clown you, but I believe in you and I'm going to support you. Raheem was my favorite of the four. Like, you know, because what I liked about Raheem was that he wasn't perfect. He was going through his thing with the mother of his kids and his kid or whatever. And, you know, just trying to come up. He the one that came up with the plan. So he wanted something better that ended up going disastrously wrong. But I feel like Raheem was the leader of the crew. He had sense and he was just, you know, he wasn't no punk either. And that's why when Bishop shot him, I was just like, I was pissed. Because I thought Raheem was like the star. Because when I watched that movie, I didn't know who the star was. I didn't know any of them except for Steel. Steel, I saw him in Lean On Me, so he was the only actor I was familiar with at that time. Which to me, I feel like made the movie better because I didn't know what was going to happen, which way anything was going to go. So I was just like, yo, what's happening? So that movie really kept me on my toes watching it the first time because I was like, all right, I don't know none of these cats except Steel. And I knew Steel wasn't the man. So I was like, oh, okay, Raheem is the man. Even though they was focused on Q and they opened up on Q, it still felt like Raheem was the guy. I already knew, you know, Bishop was going to be the loose cannon. But as far as actors, I was just like, who are these guys? They're delivering. Right. And then when Raheem got shot, I was like, nah, he's not dead. He's not dead. What are we talking about? He's not dead. He's dead. Oh, I was pissed. And then, you know, Bishop just turned full villain. He had his moments of just being shaky and like, he made a move. And then like guilt, remorse, panicky. And then he just turned full villain. And I was just like, oh, OK. He was crazy. Bishop was crazy. And so, but that was my intro to Tupac Shakur. I didn't put two and two together that Tupac was a part of Digital Underground. I didn't, at that time, I'm not sure if Nothing But Trouble had already came out. I didn't even put two and two together that he was rapping with Digital Underground on that song. Just, I was like, oh, snap. Matter of fact, I got to look up, when did Nothing But Trouble come out? Hold on. Because I know Juice came out at the very beginning of 1992. But Nothing But Trouble. And Tupacalypse Now. Oh, Nothing But Trouble came out in 91. So I didn't even put two and two together that Tupac was a part of Digital Underground and that he was on the same song. All around the world, the same song. Didn't even put it together. I didn't notice that Tupac rapped until I saw Brenda's Got a Baby after I saw Juice. And I was like, yo, man, that's the dude from Juice. He rapped? That shit's crazy. That's crazy, man. So he went from acting to rapping, man. That's wild. I never would have thought I'd see the day when I saw, because Tupacalypse Now came out in 1991, but I didn't even, it came out at the end of 1991, so I didn't even tap into that album. And so that was my intro to Tupac, was Juice as an actor, right? And then, you know, Brenda's Got a Baby, and then Strictly for My Niggas, Keep Your Head Up. And I was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Then Poetic Justice, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then, you know, his name was growing, and it was just growing. The legend of Tupac just continued to grow. It was a slow build, though. It was a slow build. Let's keep it a stack, man. Tupac's rise was a slow, organic build. Like, he wasn't a superstar overnight. And I know that's the history we like to paint about Tupac. He was a star overnight. No, he wasn't. It was a process. The Tupacalypse Now album wasn't cracking like that. It didn't explode like that. And then, you know, it was the movies. It was the music. It was like boom, 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 boom. And then it was like, you know, slowly building up. And that's why, you know, when people argue like, you know, Tupac was just, he was the biggest ever all the time. And it's like, no, not quite. Like, he didn't, like Snoop Dogg became a star immediately. He became a star immediately. Like, I haven't seen, I'm trying to think of somebody that just blew up immediately. There's not too many in rap. And I feel like Snoop had the fastest explosion in hip hop of all time. Because Snoop's debut was Deep Cover, and they were just like, yo, who is this dude? Followed that up immediately with Nothing But a G Thing. He opens that song up and it's just like, yo, this nigga right here, this is just two songs. And we already just like, and Nothing But a G Thing was one of the biggest rap songs of all time. On the second, you know what I'm saying? He all over the Chronic was groundbreaking. Then that next year, because Chronic came out in 92, Snoop's debut album, the highest selling album first week of all time. Fast, rapid fire explosion. It wasn't no, he had to come out with a couple albums to build the name up. It was like, boom, quick, fast. And I can't think of an explosion that fast. You know, Drake was a build. Lil Wayne was a hell of a build. Kendrick was a build. Eminem was a build. Nelly was a build. Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice. No, 50 is not that. 50 got his album shelved, and then he did the mixtape grind before he did Get Rich or Die Trying. So he put a little something. He was buzzing. He made that song How to Rob. Then he got shot 8-9 times. That's in the news. So it was like a lot of news outside of the music building. Then the mixtapes. Then the beef with Ja Rule. It was like a buildup before he exploded too. It was a whole like little rollout run. But Hammer didn't explode right away. Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him is not MC Hammer's debut album. That is not his debut album. Hammer was already out. He already put an album out. And he was already, let's get it started. It wasn't a fast explosion like that. It took some time. It took some time because if you look at Hammer's debut, MC Hammer. Let's look at his pedigree. Okay. His first album was in 1986. Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him was 1990. And then he had Feel My Power. That was his debut album, which I didn't even know. I didn't even know nothing about this album. Then he had Let's Get It Started in 1988. And then he had Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him in 1990. And even that album, the first week didn't go crazy. You know, that built up to like one of the best-selling rap albums of all time. I feel like Vanilla Ice had a faster... Vanilla Ice is a good comparison here. Vanilla Ice is a good comparison. LL Cool J did have a fast explosion. Because Vanilla Ice came out with Ice Ice Baby, and it was a rap. That album was doing numbers. It was crazy fast. And then he just... So Vanilla Ice is a good pick. I know we're not going to be like, yo, man, he didn't last. He didn't last at all. But that was a fast explosion, for sure. For sure. Lauryn Hill on the solo tip. We can't count Lauryn Hill because the Fugees put out an album already. They put out an album that tanked. Then, you know, they had to get their feet together, and then they got their feet together on the second album, The Score. And then it was like, so that was a long build. And plus, she was already in Sister Act 2, which y'all claim is a classic. And that first Fugees album was whack. I did not like that album, man. I bought that album on the strength of the vocab song. It was a vocab remix. So when I buy the album, the vocab don't even sound like what I saw in the video. So I'm pissed. And then the album was just Skip City. And I was just like. So then when they came back with a Fuji line, I was like, see, now we cooking. And I gambled on them again and it paid off. It paid off. So Vanilla Ice, Snoop, LL Cool J, quick starts. But I wanted to rank Tupac albums. Since we own Pac, we transition from Juice, Pac. I want to give my ranking, and I want to see y'all ranking too. I want to give my ranking of Tupac albums before he passed. So I'm throwing Machiavelli in there, and I'm stopping at Machiavelli. Because all those albums that came out after he passed, I just feel like they were just scrambling to get their feet together just to put some stuff out, rather than it being like an organic album that he actually worked on. So I'm going to stop at Machiavelli. Machiavelli will be included in this. So we got five albums to choose from. We got Tupacalypse Now, Strictly for My Niggas, Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, Machiavelli. Those are the five, and I'm going to rank them in my personal order. My personal order of how I would rank the Pac albums, 5-1. All right. Number five, y'all probably already know what it's going to be. Tupacalypse Now. The debut album is last because I feel like, you know, when my homies call and Brenda's got a baby, might be two or three other cuts on there that was legit, but it wasn't like a must play. It wasn't like a heavily rotated album. Now, granted, you know what I'm saying? This was 91. I didn't have access to it. But it wasn't that album. It's not an album that I come back to. Like, I don't come back to Tupacalypse Now. I might come get some Brenda's Got a Baby, dip out. Not that it's a bad album, but, you know, when we ranking Tupac, somebody got to be last. And Tupacalypse Now is easily last in this discography. So I'm going Tupacalypse Now, last. Number four, Strictly for My Niggas. Strictly for My Niggas is number four. That's the fourth one, man. keep your head up, was fire. I get around. It was like, yo, man, we having some fun. Ain't he coming with the message? You know, he has some great singles on there. He has some great singles on that thing. And I was like, yo, man, these is fire. And, you know, the I Get Around video was iconic. Keep your head up, had a great message. And it was like, yo, man, this kid. So he mixed having fun, I Get Around, you know, having a good time. I'm not all serious business. I'm not all angry at America. I'm not all, you know, Brenda's got a baby, finding babies in the dumpster. Now, you know, I have fun with the ladies. I'm out here smashing and dashing, you know. I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying life. So now we're getting a different perspective on Tupac. I'm like, oh, he really out here having fun. Oh, he taking them down. He taking the women down. His shirt is off. You know what I'm saying? So we get a different perspective. Then at the same time, which makes Tupac such an interesting figure in rap, is that he was never just one thing. He was everything. He was all of it. He was ignorant. He was super intelligent. He was wild. He was calm. He was compassionate. He didn't give a fuck. You know, he was all of that. He was all sides of everything. And then keep your head up, ladies, man. Keep y'all heads up, man. You hang in there. Y'all are worth everything, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to dust y'all off and leave you. But listen, keep your head up. Keep your head up, man. I love y'all, man. I love y'all so much, man. Let me just hit in the bathroom real quick, and then I'm going to come back to the studio. You may or may not see me again, but keep your head up. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? So I'm going to get strictly for my niggas at fourth spot. Number three. This is where the wrestling starts. This is where the tussling is going to start right here, right now. This is where we go. Because I think pretty much if we all made our top five, y'all probably had those same two albums as four and five. This is where the wrestling and the grabbing and the microphone tussle noise is coming in. Number three, All Eyes on Me. All Eyes on Me. I'm putting that at number three. All Eyes on Three. You know what I'm talking about? You feel me? The double album. The controversial double album with the W up there and the leather vest. California Love. Ambitions of a Rider, man. I'm giving that the number three spot, man. Double albums rarely work, man. There's always extra fat on there we can trim off. It's a lot of real estate on the double albums. And with that comes bloat. And so I just feel like he could have packed that into one album. He could have packed, consolidated all that into just one fire ass album. I mean, All Eyes on Me was fire, but it could have been even more fire. Could have been even more fire. They just, you know what I'm saying? Just trim the fat, man. The album has some love handles. So that's the thing about All Eyes on Me. I just feel like if he would have consolidated that into just one 15 track album. Woo. Woo. What are we talking about? What are we doing? This is fire. But you know, All Eyes on Me became legendary. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy that him and Biggie got two legendary double albums. It's crazy. When you talk about rappers that are beefing, in many cases, there's a lopsided situation going in the midst of the beef, right? When you talk about 50 Cent and Ja Rule, Ja Rule declined while 50 elevated. But this particular beef, Biggie wasn't no slouch in terms of the sales in the midst of the beef. Like Biggie was doing numbers. Low key, Biggie sold better than Tupac. His double album had a higher first week sales, and even now it's certified higher than All Eyes on Me, And Ready to Die, Biggie's debut, outsold, shit, it outsold Tupac's first two albums together. Shit. That's crazy. And then Biggie also put out a fire double album. You know, you could trim off some of the fat, but it wasn't a lot of fat on that album. That's crazy. Anyway, that's number three. Number two. Machiavelli, my number two. I'm putting that right at number two. Machiavelli was short and sweet and just fire and robust. I really like Machiavelli. Not a lot of fat on that bone right there. It was a good time. Tupac was firing on all cylinders lyrically. It was dark. It was moody. There's an energy on that Machiavelli album that's like, there's like a spirit on it that's like, it's very somber. It's very like, because we know like, we just lost Pac. He was murdered. So we're listening to the album with different ears now. We've gone beyond just the, oh, we just going to have a good time. Oh, this is about the beef. Now, he is dead now. So there's an eeriness to the whole album. There's a vibe there. That's just even when you're listening to Live and Die in L.A., you're still just like, there's still like a dark tone surrounding this whole album. And to me, even though it was a dark tone, it was a dark energy, there was a sadness there, there was loss, there was, that adds to the quality of the album for me. Hail Mary, that's haunting, man. You can taste the ghosts on that album, on that song. It's crazy. But like the gem, even that song crazy, there's a spirit on it that's just very haunting and like poetic and like sad and real and like, and I want to say this about a Tupac album that came out way after he passed that also gives me that same feeling, but on a different lighter note, is I wonder if Heaven Got a Ghetto, there's like a feeling of, there's a spiritual energy on it. I wonder if Heaven Got a Ghetto. Who? It's like the melodies and the harmonies and the way that he's rapping. Even the way the video was set up was crazy. But you know, that was on a later album anyway. So Machiavelli, man. Machiavelli number two. But number one, it goes without saying because it's the only album left. Me Against the World. Me Against the World is my favorite Tupac album of all time. That to me is his bona fide jam right there, because I feel like we got the truest essence of Pac as Pac. This wasn't angry beef Pac. This was more, Tupac was going through a lot at this time, and he was angry, but it was like a different type of anger. It was more anger at, like, you know, life and society. And like, and we still getting those tough, real human moments too. Like, you know, so many tears just thinking about, you know, loved ones lost, and, you know, I see death around the corner, worried about his own demise. And like, I just feel like that was the perfect version of Pac. Because All Eyes on Me, he was just like, he had a vendetta and he had targets. Like very real individual targets. It was just like, yeah, man, yeah. And West Coast. He had like an agenda. But I feel like Me Against the World, it was truly him within himself, if that makes any sense at all. And I feel like that's when you really tap into like the artistry of Pac right there on that album. Because it was so many different facets of Tupac within that same album. So I'm going to go Me Against the World is my favorite Tupac album of all time, Me Against the World. And So Many Tears is my favorite Tupac song of all time. Back in elementary, I thrived on misery. Left me alone, I grew up amongst a dying breed. Some of mine couldn't find a place to rest until I got the thug life tattooed on my chest. Heaven, can you feel me? I love that song, man. Shock G on the production. He took it all the way back to the essence, to the beginning of his career. And Shock G gave him a gem of a song, one that really resonated with me and like countless others. I always feel like, you know, when I bring up So Many Tears, people be like, man, So Many Tears. Because a lot of people go to the California Loves and the Hail Marys and the I Ain't Mad At Yous and the Keep Your Heads Up and the I Get Around. But So Many Tears, though, I feel like that really resonates on a different level with people. And I feel like that's what makes that song so eternal. Anyway, that's how I'm ranking those. And I want to know what your rankings are, man. How you ranking Tupac's five albums that I consider the albums he really worked on? Let me know your five and how you rank them. I want to know. I want to know everybody's five. And I also want to know your favorite Pac song of all time. All that good stuff. It's good to be back. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to the Patriot Saints for sitting in here listening to all of this. We talk politics, we talk dating, we talk Pac, we talk water consumption. We out here, man. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to the Patron Saints. Shout out to Amir on the ones and twos. And thank you for tuning in to another session of that verbal cardio.